أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 16 from Surah Al-A'raf. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. And he said, Shaitan, as you have consigned me to perversity, I will surely lie in wait for them on your straight path. Then I will come at them from their front and from their rear and from their right and their left, and you will not find most of them to be grateful. If you remember, there was a conversation between God and Iblis, as the verses mention, when he was ordered in a group of angels to prostrate for Adam, alayhi salam. He denied. And then Allah asked him why he defied, and Allah asked him, why did you reject to prostrate to Adam? And he said, I am better than him because you have created me out of fire and him out of clay. And then Allah told him, go down from here. You cannot have arrogance in this place of vicinity. You are from the degraded ones. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. And then he said, give me respite until the day you resurrect them, which we said it alludes to the fact that Shaitan knew that this Adam and his progeny was going to die and was going to be resurrected. This was clear for the angels and for Iblis, and Allah gave him respite. Now he says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغَوَيْتَنِي لَأَغْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because you made me to go astray. You consigned me, as it's translated here, to perversity. Then I will sit on your Sirat al-Mustaqim, in wait for them. Whoever comes on Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is of course initially everyone is on the fitrah, they go on Sirat al-Mustaqim. I will wait for them on that Sirat. That is my promise to you, that you have determined a Sirat for them to come to you, to go to paradise. I will sit on that Sirat and I will lead them astray, or divert them from that sirat. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That means, أَنْ سِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is mansub because the أَنْ is omitted here. أَنْ سِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now, of course, this argument of Iblis that assigns and attributes his perversity to God is something that he has somehow given to human beings as well. He is more clever than not knowing that his sin was not something that could be attributed to God. But then the poor human beings are not as clever, and therefore many of them would go astray. They attribute what they do in terms of sins to God, as, of course, it is mentioned in the Quran. For example, in Surah Nahl, we have that human beings say almost the same thing. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ نَحْنُ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ من قبلهم فهل على الرسل إلا البلاغ المبين. They say, if Allah wished, we wouldn't have neither us nor our forefathers, we wouldn't have made anything haram despite his will. And we wouldn't have worshipped anyone but him. If we are doing these things, it's because Allah has willed it. It's not due to us. What is our power? We don't have any power to do it. And then Allah says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. We send messengers to them. We send worship God and avoid طاغوت. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الضَّلَالَةِ. Some of them Allah guided. Some of them were instances for zalala, for going astray. They made it upon themselves to go astray. So that is not the case. In Surah Najm, there's a better or clearer statement of this, that وَقَالُوا لَوْ شَاءَ الرَّحْمَانُ مَا عَبَدْنَاهُمْ. They say, if Allah wished, we wouldn't have worshipped anyone but him. We wouldn't have worshipped the idols. مَا لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. In Najm as well we have it. مَا لَهُمْ بِذَلَكَ مِنْ إِلْمٍ إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Or Zuhruf, as you say. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. They have no knowledge of this. They think it is a guess, as usually we have this guess, that we say that, yes, everything is willed by Allah. If everything is willed by Allah, then where is our free will? If we go astray, Allah has willed it. If we sin, Allah has willed it. This is something that we usually, it comes to our minds. And Allah says, you don't have any knowledge of this. This issue of free will and predestination or determination is more complicated than something that our reason can unravel. And therefore Allah says, yes, they have a guess about it. They think that everything is, because everything is in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore whatever we do is in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And this is something, of course, that many Muslims as well, as many Christians as well, as many Jews as well, as many in other religions have taken as their ideology, that whatever we do is due to Allah's will. We have no freedom, we have no power. No power is found independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, whatever we do is due to Him. And although, as I said, our understanding, our reasoning may lead us to that, but Allah says, مَا لَهُمْ بِذَلَكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no knowledge of that. This is only a guess. This is only a surmise that they make that this is the case. The issue, as I said, is more complicated for our intellect to be able to unravel, to be able to understand. And therefore, we have to accept whatever Allah says. Everything is in my hand, and you have free will. How these two match with each other, how these two tally with each other, we don't know. Of course, we can argue, we can bring different reasonings, but it's very, very difficult when it goes to the very depth of it. It's very difficult, very complicated. The Ash'aris usually had this idea that, of course, the Ash'aris have different lines themselves, but the pure Ash'aris, the old Ash'aris, they really believe that everything is in hands of God. There is a story Maybudi reports in his tafsir, Kashf al-Asrar. He himself was an Ash'ari theologian, Maybudi, an Ash'ari Sufi, actually. And he says that in support of the idea, he says that once a faqih, a jurist, entered Masjid al-Haram, and Tawus ibn Kisan was sitting there. Tawus was also one of the Tabi'un, a very important muhaddith and mufassir, was sitting there, and he spoke to the man, and he just rejected him to stay and told people to throw him out of Masjid al-Haram. And when he was told that this is a faqih, why did you send him out? He said this was a Qadarite faqih. Qadarite, of course, was a term used for those who believed in free will, as against Jabarite, who believed in predetermination. Of course, we believe in free will as well, but we are not Qadarites, the Shias. are not Qadarais. There is a sort of delicate difference between Qadarais and Shiais, because we believe the issue is between Jabr and Tafwir. Qadarais usually believed in Tafwir, delegation of everything to human will. Now, he said, this is not a faqih. If he was faqih, he wouldn't have believed in free will. And Shaitan, Iblis, was more faqih than he was. Because Shaitan knew that everything was due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that sense, actually, Tawus is approving Iblis in what he says, رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. And actually, the Ash'aris usually should commend Shaitan for this intelligence that he shows here, that he says, although of course I went astray, but it is you who have created all these things and made this situation to happen. Anyhow, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. I will wait for them, sit in wait for them on your right path. So, again here, this is before Adam was somehow given the life that he had in that Jannah, in that garden. Again, Iblis here knows that there is a Siratul Mustaqim. This creature, this creation, would need religion, would need guidance. And he knew his own power, that I can sit in wait for him and for his wife and for his progeny, and I can misguide them from that right path. Lots of things are mentioned in this conversation, actually. Great knowledge is there in terms of what Allah had destined or predestined for this creation. He was going to die. He needed a religion. That religion was a right path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That right path could be somehow tampered with. Shaitan could lead them, divert them from that right path. All these things were something known to Iblis. And if this was known to Iblis, it was known to the angels as well. So it is not the case that Adam was destined for paradise initially and then he was thrown out of it. And this gives us some knowledge about what type of garden it was that he was put in the first place. We'll discuss that later on. Now, Iblis is saying something else as well. Again, showing how deeply he knew what sort of creature this human being is going to be. And how he can actually use his methods to divert them from Siratul Mustaqim. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكَرِينَ. Then I will come at them from their front and from their rear and from their right and their left, and you will not find most of them to be grateful. Now, why Iblis is mentioning this in defiance of God at this very moment? I mean, if he was cleverer, he would have concealed this. Although he knew that God knows all these things, he would have concealed it. He wouldn't have mentioned them. And he would have left them to the point of action. When it came to act, he would have done all these things. He would have used all these tactics. Why is he mentioning this in defiance of Allah? Isn't he afraid that Allah would say, well, if you are going to do all these, I'm going to stop you. I'm not letting you to do it. Apparently, what we can understand, actually he wants to know what is he allowed to do. So he is mentioning all these things. If he gets approval from Allah, then he feels free to do all that. If he does not, then he knows that if he does anything apart from this, Allah would stop him, would punish him. So he wants an approval. He says, I'm going to do all these things. Are you objecting? Are you doing anything against me? And Allah says, no, I'm not doing anything against you. And he gets the approval. He gets the green light. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْهُورًا. Go and do whatever you want. لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ I leave them free to do whatever they want to do and leave you free to do whatever you want to do. However, whoever follows you from them, لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ And here, مِنْهُمْ, of course, is plural. It's not referring to two, مِنْهُمَا, to Adam and Eve. That means, again, Allah and Shaitan, both of them, they know that these are going to have progeny, and these are going to need faith, and all these things that I mentioned, لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ Whoever follows you from them, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I will fill hell with you, all of you. So I don't care how many of them you take to hell with you. I don't care. What I care is about those who come to me. And in a sense, Shaitan is facilitating the whole way for people to choose quicker, easier, and those who want to go to God, they go to God sooner rather than later. So, what is this? These tactics that he is mentioning, I will come from their front and from their rear and from their right and from their left. And after I do all these things, well, I'll mention what these tactics are, but he says, after I do all these things, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكَرِينَ You wouldn't find the majority of them to be thankful. Now, what Shaitan is mentioning here is the final aim and goal that he has in mind, that make people unthankful to God, ungrateful. This is very important. This is what I'm going to do. I will somehow make things appear to them in a way that they wouldn't be grateful to you. And he actually is thinking, by mentioning this, that he's somehow bringing the most, the heaviest strike to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, well, you want people to be grateful. I wasn't grateful, of course, because of what I did. You wouldn't find most of them grateful as well. And I'm going to do that. Now, is Iblis correct in this? In what he said. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكَرِينَ Of course. As I said, he was a creature of great knowledge. He knew that some of these human beings cannot be diverted by him. لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ There are some servants of you who are purified. I have no access to them. That's right, I concede. I don't go close to them. However, the majority you wouldn't find grateful. Is Iblis right or wrong? In a sense, we can say he is right. The majority are not grateful to Allah. But gratefulness has degrees. For example, Allah himself mentions in the Quran that majority of the people, only a minority are really grateful to Allah. The majority are ungrateful. اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور آل داود do now اعملوا شكرا means do thank me or do things do acts to show your gratefulness اعملوا شكرا do things so that you show your gratefulness to me so This gratefulness refers to actions, actually. By our acts, by our thoughts, by what we do, we show whether we are grateful to Allah or we are not grateful to Allah. So this gratefulness is not only something that we say by our tongue or even we concede by our heart. It's something that we have to show in our action that we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and there... Of course, Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عَبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ Only a minority of my servants are... Now, here are shakur. Shakur is really grateful, deeply grateful, because this is mubalagha. It denotes to the highest level of gratefulness. But maybe a majority are shakir, if not shakur. Of course... If people are really shakir, then we wouldn't find them sin, we wouldn't find them doing things against God, against each other. Whatever we do in as an act of disobedience, this shows our ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a sense. But of course, as I said, this has degrees. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. Now, Ibrahim himself was a nation when no one was worshipping God. He was worshipping God. He himself was a nation in his individual, single number. And then he was shakiran li'an'umih. He was grateful to the bounties of God. Then because of this gratefulness, ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim. Allah chose him and guided him. So gratefulness and guidance come together. So if the majority go astray, it means that the majority are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in Surah Saba, we have about the people of Saba. Allah mentions, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. Iblis had guessed from the beginning something about these human beings. And he actually made it true on them. What was what Iblis had surmised from the beginning? لَا تَجُدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكَرِينَ. The majority you wouldn't find grateful. And he made it true on the people of Sabah. وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ. They followed him. He made it true on them. They became ungrateful. And they followed him. So, here, maybe we may say that Iblis has made a true surmise here. That majority of the people are not going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, of course, although majority are not grateful, but majority are not going to go to hell. This is something, despite the will of Iblis, that he wanted to take everyone to hell with him, because then there is forgiveness, there is shafa'at, all these things which would bar the majority to go to hell. And this is something that you will find Iblis very sad about it on the Day of Judgment, that he will go to hell, but majority of the people will go to paradise. Anyhow, what is the meaning of ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. There is a hadith from Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam, which is mentioned in Majmu' al-Bayan, which somehow sums up all the ideas about this coming from front and rear and right and left. Although there are different views on that by Mufassirin, but this actually somehow summarizes all of them. لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Imam alayhi salam mentions that أُحَوِّنُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَمْرَ الْآخِرَةِ. I will make the issue of Akhirah for them to be trivial, not important. How I do it? I give them lots of inspirations, amal, desires in this world that they completely forget Akhirah. The world will become so important for them. This life will become so important for them that they absolutely forget the issue of Akhirah. Is he true about it? Nowadays, about, especially in our modern world, I think he has made this than true for many people. This humanistic attitude of human being, of the modern man, that what is important is man in this life. Nothing is important apart from that. This is what has made people to forget Akhirah completely. And you see even some Muslims, some Christians, some Jews, they interpret Akhirah in a way that, again, it refers back to this dunya. They forget dunya completely. This is what he says, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ. From front, they look ahead, but they only see their desires, their aspirations for this world, nothing from the next world. This is what I will do, and this is what Shaitan is quite expert to do. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْعَارَضِ I will decorate the earth for them, decorate the life on this earth for them. In a way that they cannot see that how short this life is. They cannot see how worthless this life is if it is cut off from Akhirah. How aimless it is. They cannot see. And this he has done with the highest dexterity and best of all techniques. وَمَنْ خَلْفِهِمْ Now Imam alayhi salam says, أَمُرُهُمْ بِجَمْعِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْبُخْلُ بِهَا عَنِ الْحُقُوقِ لِيَبْقَى لِوَرَثَتِهِمْ From their rear, although they know they are going to leave this world, still they think that, let me leave things more for my children. Let me do something so that is left behind me. And this looking at behind all the time, amassing wealth for children to leave it for the heirs is something that, again, Shaitan is very expert to do. You see, some people have billions, millions, or whatever money, still they want to accumulate. And when you ask them why, he says, I want to put it to leave it for my children. I want them to have a good life, an easy life. I will come from that way as well, from that side as well. أَمُرُهُمْ بِجَمْعِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْبُخْلِ بِهَا عَنِ الْحُقُوقِ لِيَبْقَى لِوَرَثَتِهِ وَأَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ And from their right. Now here you see, مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَأَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ مِنْ is for غاية. That means from their front and rear to whatever extent that they can think about. But an is for diversion. And I come from an aymanihim, from their right, so that I can divert them to right, divert them to left, instead of going on the right path. What is an aymanihim? The Imam alayhi salam says, أُفْسِدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَمْرَدِينِهِمْ بِتَزْعِينِ الظَّلَالَ وَتَحْسِينِ الشُّبْهَ I will corrupt their faith. Not to become faithless, corrupt their faith in a way that they feel they are more faithful. And this is one of the most dangerous tactics of Shaitan. That bringing zalala, misguidance, in the form of guidance. And bringing shubha to confuse people about faith. Creating new sects, creating new religions in a way that people think this is what we have to follow. This is the faith that we have to, this actually takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many people, in a sense, who are faithful, they are not deceived by the مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ With desires, amal, they are not deceived in that way. I mean, if Shaitan finds people really faithful, he is not going to tell them about, look how the life is beautiful, forget about Akhirah. He knows they are not going to do that. He doesn't talk to them about amassing wealth. This is stupid. They don't care about wealth and all these things. Now, how can he penetrate? Well, you want to go closer to God? This is the method. Come, this is the method, this is the way you have to go through. And of course they get deceived by that. And in Surah Safat, actually the Mushrikun, because the Mushrikun also were deceived, many of them, through faith, through prejudice, that defend your lords, defend your gods, these are your gods, these are your sustainers, defend them. This was the way they became more faithful and more prejudiced about their faith. Many of them were astray by the way of faith. Now in Surah Safat, when they are put in hell, they say to those teachers who actually led them that way, قَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَأْتُونَنَا عَنَ الْيَمِينَ How come? Why are we here? You came to us from our right side, from the right side, from the side of faith, from the side of piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God, or our God, or whatever, you came from that side. قَالُوا بَلْ لَمْ تَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Now, don't think that you were faithful. You were not faithful. Faith is a different thing. You followed again your own aspirations, but in a different sense. You wanted to get close to God quick. You wanted to excel everyone else in faith quick. And of course, we knew how to do it for you. We actually decorated the whole thing for you. قَالُوا بَلْ لَمْ تَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْنَا قَوْلُ رَبِّنَا. Now, of course, our Lord has made the decree, and we are actually under His decree. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْنَا قَوْلُ رَبِّنَا إِنَّا لَذَائِقُونَ. فَأَغْوَيْنَاكُمْ إِنَّا كُنَّا غَاوِينَ. We ourselves were actually diverted, and we made you divert. So this is وَأُفْسِدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَمْرَ دِينِهِمْ بِتَزِينِ الذَّلَالَ وَتَحْسِينِ الشُّبْهَ. And this is one of the most dangerous things for the pure faithful. And we have in hadith that the people are destroyed except mu'minun. And mu'minun are destroyed except mukhlasun, except mukhlasun, their sincere ones, wal mukhlasuna ala khatarin azim. And mukhlasun are in danger. This is the danger. This is the danger for mukhlasun, for those who are very pure in their faith. Shaitan comes from that way. And we have many examples in the Quran about people who actually excelled all other faithful, and suddenly shaitan found a way to them. Like Bal'am Ba'ur, who's mentioned in Surah Araf. We'll talk about him and many other instances which are said this verse is true about them. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَهُ آيَاتِنَا. Recite for them or tell them the story of that person that we gave him all our ayat. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan followed him. He knew how to penetrate. He penetrated. And then he became... he went astray. He wanted to have that purity used for the sake of this world, and then, of course, he perished. So this is wa an aymanihim wa an shama'ilihim. Shamal is actually the wrong side. Yamin is the right side. Shamal is the wrong side, and the wrong side is shahawat. Wishes, whimsy wishes, sins, I will come from that way as well. Of course, some people do not care about faith. I know how to deceive them through their shahawat, through their ladhat, enjoyments, desires, and all these things. So the Imam says, بِتَحْبِيبِ اللَّذَّاتِ إِلَيْهِمْ. I make the enjoyments of life so loved by them. وَتَغْلِيبِ الشَّهَوَاتِ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And I make the shahawat, the whimsy wishes, to overcome their hearts. So this is the techniques that Shaitan uses. And of course, there are other views mentioned by Mufassirun, which somehow are included in what Imam Ja'far, Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam has mentioned. For example, from Ibn Abbas and Qatada and Ibn Jurayj, it is mentioned that min qibal dunyahum wa akhiratihim, min bayn aydihim, from what is related to this dunya, wa an min bayn wa min khalfihim, from what is related to the next world. And aymanihim min jahat hasanatihim, from their good deeds. I pick their good deeds and then I use them against them, in a sense. Wasayyatihim, and their evil deeds. Or Mujahid says, من حيث يبصرون ومن حيث لا يبصرون. From before them, the way they can see that they are wrong, and from behind them, the way they cannot see that they are wrong. They think that they are right. And other things which are mentioned, and usually the Mu'tazili Mufassirun, they say that we shouldn't take these very literally. It means whatever I can I do, whatever technique is in my disposal, I will use to lead them astray. Now, Maybudi in his tafsir mentions a very beautiful comparison between Iblis and Adam, and he says that there are five differences between Adam and Iblis in this story, which leads to the destruction of Iblis and to prosperity of Adam. And that five differences, inshallah, we'll leave it for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We now have some time for questions and answers.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, on a previous lecture, I heard that apart from the four directions that you mentioned, there was a fifth one that Shaitan says, I come from below. And the significance, the lecturer was saying that he never says, I come from above. Now, have you heard this? And can you explain what the below is?
Yes, some of the exegetes say, well, of course, the four directions are alluding to four different things. They are somehow symbolic, symbolizes other things in a very concise language. Saying that why he doesn't mention above and beneath, as these exegetes say.
He did mention beneath, that was the thing, but he didn't mention above, but he did mention from below.
Well, the exegetes that I have read, they say he does not mention beneath and above, because above is the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the barakat comes from above, and therefore he cannot come from that way. And if he comes from beneath, then every human being is disarmed. It's very dangerous. So he doesn't mention these two, because then Allah will say, I would not allow you to come from above and from beneath. But I think this is just conjecture. These are somehow symbols used for different aspects of human life and human desires and human faculties. And therefore, these were I mentioned. The others, as I said, the Mufassirun have somehow surmised why hasn't mentioned. But having mentioned that as well, I don't know.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum as-salam.
Very clear with the shaitan and him knowing exactly what's coming. A little footnote here, I might have missed it, but shaitan knew resurrection was going to be at a particular time, yes?
Yes.
Which is past the life of the human beings. What is intriguing is that he knew he was going to survive past that day, or did he?
No, he didn't, actually, and Allah did not made it clear for him. He said, أَنذَرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, give me time until they are resurrected. And Allah said, I give you time until a certain day. إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. So he did not make it clear for Iblis that until what time I'm going to give you time. And actually, the exegetes theologically have discussed this, and they have said that it was not right for Allah to determine a time. For example, saying that, yes, I will give you time until the day they are resurrected, because then Shaitan knows when exactly his time is going to be over, and this means that just before that he can repent. Of course, it's very difficult for someone doing all these things to repent, but they say this, and they say he Allah left it ambiguous so that Shaitan really doesn't know what is the final point for him.
You said earlier that you have to thank God, Allah, in every way, not just by words, yeah? By conduct, by... What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Do you mean conduct by... In what way?
Yeah. Oh, very clear. If we commit a sin, but we all the time say, Allah, we are thankful to you, that means we are liars. If we disobey God, and then we say, Allah, we are grateful to you, that means we are not right. We are not telling the truth by our tongues. So our word should be somehow confirmed by our acts. If we say we are thankful to God, that means we shouldn't disobey him. This is the act of thankfulness. Is that clear?
Yeah, because I heard a lecture saying that you have to say shukriya all the time to God. You know,
yes, and that is also part of it. Yes, that is part of it. But many people say we are grateful to God by their tongues, but they are not grateful actually in their heart because then they disobey God.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. When Shaitan actually mentions that you will not find the most of them to be grateful, how is he so confident without having interacted with men that he would be able to do that?
Apparently he was confident of his techniques and his power. I don't know how he was confident, but the point is, of course, Allah does not confirm what he says. He just says, whoever you take with you, you can take to hell with you. And that shows that hell initially was not for man. Hell was initially for this very, very arrogant creation. And what he tries to do, he tries to take the majority of human beings with him to hell, to prove to God that he was wrong, in a sense. That didn't I tell you that this man is worse than me? See how they have disobeyed you. He wanted this to somehow to get a confirmation from God. Allah did not confirm it, of course. He says, whoever follows you, he comes with you to hell. I don't care. And in Surah Sa'd, for example, after he says, I will lead most of them astray, he says, قال الحق. This is haq. I agree. Whoever you want to take, قال الحق والحق أقول. And I say حق as well. لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين. Whoever follows you, I will fill hell with all of you. I don't care about it.
Sheikh, you raised a very interesting point today that Shaitan works on those who their individual perception may be that they are faithful, but try and move them. So if gratefulness or ungratefulness of Allah are the two sides of the equation, and if I were to consider myself on the gratefulness side, how really, as an individual, would I know that I'm truly, or is it just a perception that I'm grateful? In other words, I'm asking you, how do I self-audit? Can I really do it myself, or do I need to have a peer-to-peer or individual-to-a-scholar counseling sessions, really?
Well, you don't have any scholar who is somehow vaccinated against this as well. I mean, we are all human beings. Whether a scholar or lay people, we are all human beings. And therefore, all the time somehow thinking that there is someone who can tell me. That someone himself is one of those who is the target of Iblis. And therefore, the only people who are not target of Iblis are Anbiya and Awliya. These are the only people. Otherwise, everyone else is a target.
This one, I agree with you, what you just said. But what about a close friend, just a peer, who is honest?
Yeah.
And you have a very frank, regular session with him on a monthly basis, that we are going to sit for 2 hours, you tell me your problems, you tell me the way you think you are going, I tell you the way I think I am going, and let's see, you be honest and correct me, and I'll be honest and I'll correct you as well, if I think that is ideal. Do you think that exercise can lead to benefit or...
It is very good. Actually, we have in hadith, al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min. The mu'min is the mirror of the mu'min. They show what is wrong and what is right in them. That is certainly very good. If you have someone who, as we have in hadith, to give us as a present our shortcomings. أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ مَنْ أَحْدَى إِلَيَّ أُيُوبِي. Whoever gives me as a present my shortcomings, because then I can correct them. What this issue of faith here is, which is very delicate, you see, human soul and psyche is very complicated. Inside, we can use everything for our selfish elevations. And it can be desires, it can be wealth, it can be faith. If that is the case, then we are not grateful. We are like Iblis. And recently, just in Iran, they have arrested a cult. And they are called Kehani cult. And they were very apparently close to some of the authorities. And they praise Shaitan very much. And they say no one has ever the records of worship of God as Shaitan had. And he did not worship to anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they have created a cult about it. And they are all Muslims. They follow Quran, they follow Hadith and all these things. And you see how these things can come in, can creep in. They creep in to somehow make our selfish desires satisfied inside. Sometimes through faith, sometimes through other things. And, well, in most of the cases, we just have to seek refuge. وَقُلْ رَبَّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. When you recite the Qur'an, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Qur'an, it's not only you and God, it's Shaitan as well. He's there. He's just looking, okay, which verse is somehow falling in a selfish way in you? He finds it. And otherwise, why Allah should emphasize this among many other things? Allah says, when you recite the Qur'an, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek refuge to Allah, because this is a sort of direction which we are in most cases defenseless. Unless we are really, really humble. If humbleness is somehow the weapon against Shaitan, because his weapon is arrogance. Humbleness is the defense. So if you are humble, Allah will guide us. If you are not humble, then Allah leaves us to Shaitan, whatever he wants to do, with our faith, with whatever else.
Question from the lady side.
Alaykum salam.
Thank you for such an inspiring lesson. Just thank a small you. Request. Whenever there is a cross-reference of the surah, if you just tell us the number, and people like me would be learn a great deal.
You can ask me the number later, because I don't remember the numbers, unfortunately. But sometimes I confuse the surahs. You see, I say some surah, and here our knowledgeable man says this is in another surah, you see.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Very good. Interesting lecture. I'd just like to ask a point in terms of, or just not me, but many people have the perception that faith, or someone who's apparently religious, is more defenseful against Shaitan than someone who isn't. And this is the general societal norm. So same belief at least existed for people who are scholars. What you're saying is Shaitan can influence everyone. Then does that mean that this common perception is wrong? That there's no difference between someone who actually follows the Sharia strictly and someone who doesn't, because they can both be influenced by Shaitan?
Yes, I mean, we have to be cautious in every moment of our life, no matter how religious we are, no matter how high we have reached in our relationship with God. Allah has not somehow tied the hands of shaitan, unless we become from mukhlasun. That's a different category. When you enter that category, and that category is when you completely have forgotten yourself, and therefore no selfishness. Shaitan comes when selfishness is there, and we know selfishness is in everyone, whether religious, not religious, whether faithful, not faithful, selfishness is there. When you pass that, then shaitan cannot come, because there is no selfishness. So, faith leads us to paradise, provided we guard it against shaitan. As I said, when we recite the Quran, we have to seek refuge from the shaitan. In many, many instances, even when we are very faithful, Allah says, قُلْ رَبَّ أَعُوذُ بَكَ مِنْ حَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. I seek refuge to you from the spurs of shayateen. They come, they instigate, they incite, and even the very faithful. Why faithful people have fought against each other? Why they have killed each other? It's all because, why are these sectarian issues? Aren't, for example, these sectarian people faithful? They are faithful. But the point is, this faith has become a point of selfish targets, selfish aims, rather than humbleness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for your lecture. Very quickly, you mentioned that in this day and age we're humanist. Do you mean, is it different to materialistic tendency?
Yes, materialistic. Now, the humanist view is that we have to concentrate on human abilities and forget God. That is what the humanist philosophy is deeply about. It has come from an atheistic sort of background. By humanistic, I don't mean humanitarian things and acts and these. These are very good. These are something which are things that are recommended in the Quran, in every religion. But emphasizing human against God, which is that humanism which has somehow crept in every aspect of our life nowadays, is something that we have to be very careful about.
Well, sorry, the whole issue of human rights and all that, is that part of...
No. Human rights is something different than humanism. As I said, humanism is a philosophy. Human rights, of course, in Islam we have many things about human rights. Other people have worked very outstandingly about aspects of human rights. These are things which do not somehow oppose faith and worshipping God. That humanistic philosophy is something which is somehow in contrast with religious and faith, religious belief and faith.
Here we read that Shaitan was told to go down when he disobeyed Allah and did do the sijda. In Surah Baqarah, we read that when Adam did what he did, and then Allah says, you three go down.
Mm-hmm.
So when was he sent down? After Adam didn't obey him?
Yeah. Now, we will mention this later. There are three orders of descent to Shaitan here in this surah. One is just right at the beginning. Then when he mentions that I'm going to destroy these or lead astray. And then after he has led them astray. This hasn't come yet. When he has led them astray, then he is sent even further down in terms of going away from rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will mention that inshallah next week, in our future sessions.
Sheikh, you mentioned about the strength of shaitan, and I've heard, whether it is rightly heard or probably not followed it properly, that there are times when the doors of the heaven are open for us, for example, in the month of fasting. Is there any way which is mentioned that
Shaitan is repelled during certain places or in certain gatherings or anything has been mentioned in that sense?
Yes, we have, especially in the month of Ramadan, that Shayateen are tied. So they cannot move. They don't have that movement that they have in other months. But although they are tied, we may go to them rather than they coming to us. So we have to be very careful about it. They never stop. If they get close, or if we get close to them, they never stop their methods against human beings. But of course, in month of Ramadan, because the rahmah of Allah is pervasive, it's everywhere, and also the human beings are in obedience of God, in fasting, that makes them much, much weaker. And usually obedience of God, being in the direction of God, makes them weaker. That's very obvious.
Thank you, Sheikh. Shaitan, being a clever guy...
Clever, silly guy.
Yeah, clever, silly guy, yeah, okay. When he mentioned that to Allah that you have created me from fire, which is better, well, he says that I'm better than the creation of Adam. So he must have had something in mind. Why did he actually say that fire is better than...
I don't know, ask him. As I said, he's in this, he's silly. I mean, making such an analogy. And that's why in many of our traditions from A'imma alayhi salam, when they want to reject analogy, whether in theology or in fiqh, when they reject the usage of qiyas, they say the first person who made this qiyas was Iblis. An analogy is something which is rejected in arguments.
Could it be that because fire destroys other things, that he might have used that word?
I don't know. You may ask him.
Okay, I think we'll have one more question.
Sheikh, these people you mentioned from Kayhan, in that article, they were also saying that they say it's not Shaitan's fault because God made him do it and all that. Are they Ash'aris?
Yeah, these are not Ash'aris. I mentioned once that there are some Sufi tariqas. And this starts with Ahmad al-Ghazali, who was the brother of Muhammad Ghazali, and also with Ainul Ghazat and others who commended Shaitan for his zealous monotheism, that he did not prostrate, despite he knew that he is going to be punished, despite he knew that he was going to be sent to fire. He said, I'm not going to prostrate to anyone but you. So they actually praise this aspect of Shaitan. They do not worship Shaitan, but they say that we have to learn from him. This sort of monotheism, we have to sacrifice everything, even if God sends us to hell, we have to be steadfast on this monotheistic path. Then they have built a sort of theology around this. These Kehanis, I don't know, they are Sufis, and their leader has some powers, of course. Usually they show some powers, that's why people are attracted to them. And then they bring new ideas and very strange sort of statements and exaggeration of their powers and these things. I haven't read much about them, just it was in news yesterday that this group were arrested and they had such views about Shaitan and Iblis and these things. They may be related to that Sufi tariqah of who praised Shaitan for what he did. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Rick. I think we'll end there. Salawat.
Regarding predestination and a free will, you know, in Suratul Hadid 57, 22 and 23, it says that it's what you have been, I've been always been confused, how much the predestined you have been born with or how much... Of course, most of the thing depends on your free will to choose. But there are certain things which you are predestined for it as well.
Right? Yeah. So that's why we say لا جبر ولا تفويض بل أمر بين الأمرين. It's not predestination. It is not free will. It's something in between. This is the Shi'i view about free will and predestination. However, there are different levels. You see, it was predestined that we have to come to this world, of course. Many things which comes to us are predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in all these, we do not lose our free will to choose between things. And whatever we choose, again, I mean, it's very complicated. It's predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What outcome would we receive? What reaction would we receive? And then we make another choice. And again, the reaction is predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I say, it's very complicated.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think we're on the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.